video clip this morning, we heard Srila Prabhupada talk about, I would say, the first level of actual surrender of Sanatana Goswami. After Sanatana Goswami had met the Lord in Ramakeli, he actually developed a strong desire to join his mission. But he was the minister, the prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah, the king of the Pathan government, who ruled Bengal at that time. And he knew his king would not let him go, and at that time I thought that was nicely depicted yesterday in our drama. The kings had a huge amount of authority, and if one would defy their authority, they would react very often very aggressive and often punish, most often kill people who didn't follow them. So, Sanatana was bound. Also, it gets very complex, but he had only accepted this position of being the minister in order to prevent harm, because he knew if the king wouldn't have, a local who could understand the habits of the people as a minister, his regime would not connect with the people, and as a result, he would always imprison people, torture them, kill them, and so on. So he said, I'm from here, I better accept this position so that I can be like a bridge between this despotic government, this very, very forceful government, and my own people, and prevent irrational things like killing all the brahmanas and doing such things. So, yes, he was bound. He could not so easily come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by these two considerations, of which the consideration of taking care of his own people was maybe even the more weighty consideration. But still, he could not, after seeing Mahaprabhu, maintain this compromised life as a servant to a cruel government, and therefore planned a dramatic escape. I mean, it was really dramatic. You have not seen, I mean, I know you all like movies, but you have not seen such an escape in any of the, I guess at least, it's so dramatic. You know, he was finally imprisoned, and he bribed the jail master with a tremendous bribe at that time. The jail master was hesitant to let this highest political prisoner, who was a priority prisoner, go, but Sanatana said, you simply said, the very simple, I came in chains with an iron ball to the bank of the Ganga. The prisoners need to relieve themselves, and I did my, in German language you say, my big business, and then I just jumped with the chain into the Ganga and of course drowned. Who can swim with chains? So this was all planned. Sanatan went in the most dramatic way, and he finally arrived in Vrindavan, where for one entire year, he who was known to the luxuries of this world, he was known as having access to any preparation in the kitchen he wanted. Sanatan lived the life of a renounced mendicant. What a surrender. Do you know what he had as food? Just some flour mixed with Yamuna water, and that he rolled balls from this and put them on the hot stones of his fire, you know, the fire which was there, and that he ate. My dear devotees, I tried to eat this bread. It is so hard that all my fillings on the right side fell out. Tlum, 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 tlum. Was an impressive assortment. Two gold crowns were also there amongst the fillings. It is such a hard bread. You know, how can you eat and then digest it? But that was his food. There was nothing more. He surrendered all his luxuries. And then from Vrindavan, he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And I want to speak today about this meeting where the topmost level of surrender was exhibited. In some ways, I like this as an introduction to our subject, because I think all of us have surrendered for the first time. We have in some ways come into the association of devotees. We have escaped, so to say, the prison of gross material life. We are now here in Sweden. We have arrived in the hottest summer Sweden has seen since 200 years. But I have good news. I saw this morning black-colored rain clouds. Are very welcome now. They will bring some coolness. We have done the first step of surrender. We have joined, if you so want. We have joined Pandavasenas. We are associating. We see our future. They are wonderful. But is there maybe now a second look on surrender? Something which we have not yet done and which will bring us closer to Krishna. This is my discussion. Or I see devotees from Almvik. The first step of surrender has been done. We have dhotis and saris. Tilak is also there. We don't say hello any longer when we greet each other. In the morning we say Haribol. Yes, that transformation of cloth and language has been successfully absolved. We have spiritual names. But is there maybe a second glance on surrender, something which we have not yet done and which will bring us further? This is a little bit the subject. Now, I need to say one more thing before we go right into the subject. When devotees hear the word surrender, they often associate it with a problematic word. Oh, the trip team will say to us, would you like to surrender? We already know what's coming. They look for people in the kitchen. We don't like to go to the kitchen. Now we have to surrender. Or surrender is used often when there's someone misbehaving. And the older devotee says, I guess you have to surrender now, Prabhu. At least in my generation, I did a check before this lecture, the word surrender invokes an image of a thing which you don't want to do. It makes you tremble. It is almost a bad word, something which you don't want to hear in your life. But, you know, this is a misunderstanding of what surrender means. The word surrender in Sanskrit says really what surrender entails. And you will see it's something entirely different than the misconstructed notions which are there as something you don't wish to do. It's time to look at this. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Pujariji. You are revealing the law to us by drawing the veil. Thank you. Hare Krishna. The Sanskrit word is Sharanagati. That's one of the words. Prapati is another. Sharana means a shelter, and gati means to move. So Sharanagati means to move forward to a shelter. Where I used to live for 10 years of my life, that's in a project Goloka Dham or Abenteuer, which many of you are familiar. I have met you there in the past. There is a big forest around us, I think you have seen, and this forest attracts a lot of rain clouds somehow. So often when you make a nice japa walk in the forest, all of a sudden the rain starts, and it's not a minimal rain, it's a massive rain shower. It really rains down. Wow, you're reminded of Indra's attack of Govardhan Mountain. It is really an aggressive monsoon showers are there. So at that time, you ask, where is shelter? I am dressed lightly and my bibek is also there. I don't want it to become so bad, so wet. And there used to be a little hut in the forest which you could run to and find shelter. And I always remember when I was close to this hut and the running forward gave me the greatest joy. It was not something which I did not like. I appreciated it very much. I would laugh like a little child, throw my hand in the rain and said, I'm soon in my shelter. So this is the more appropriate meaning of taking shelter or Sharanagati. It's good for us as we move forward. Sharanagati, to move towards a shelter. It means something where we progressively move forward according to our capability, and we then find shelter from miseries. In my in the analogy which I wanted to use, the miserable rain of material existence, we find shelter. And today I would like to speak on the subject with this perspective, moving towards the shelter, something which we do according to our realizations in the steps which we are capable to do. I will also talk a little about surrender as making a jump, doing something a little extraordinary. But I think for most of us, surrender should not be seen like the surrender of an army to an overpowering enemy who then makes prisoners of war. My father still tells me almost every second time I see him what happened to him when he, as a German warmonger, a German warlord, had to surrender to the Red Army, means the Russians. I don't know if you know, the Germans had to surrender finally, and they were made prisoners of war. They got one soup a day, one thin soup a day. My father still says at this day, the service of the Russians was not good. You know, he still remembers this. It was heavy. And surrender was the last thing the Germans did and wanted to do, because they knew it would be tough for them. They would be, they didn't like this. So this concept we will park now. It's not what we are looking at. We are looking at to move forward in our life to find shelter. No? Sharanagati. Krishna paints or talks about this subject in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a famous verse. Please, all of you, join me. Sarva dhamang parijaja mangekang sharanam vraja ahang tvam sava papebhyo moksha yishyami ma shuja. Sharanam, like in Sharanagati, no? Take shelter in me, and I will protect you from your greatest problem. This is your sinful your reactions to your previous sinful deeds. It's a pleasant concept. Hmm? Protection is granted to someone who takes shelter. Hmm. So, good.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Nityananda Sahodito, Nityananda Sahodito, Godaye Pushpavanto, Godaye Pushpavanto, Shito Shando Tamonudo. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had stayed for an entire year in Vrindavan, that was after his dramatic escape, where he became one of the most wanted persons of Bengal. He had hidden in Vrindavan, and now the image of the golden colored Lord, the Lord of mercy, the Lord who had come to deliver all the living entities in Kali Yuga, the Lord who had granted shelter to Sanatan and his brother Rupa. This image came back again and again to Sanatan and he could not stay any longer in Vrindavan. He had to go to Puri, where he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed. He wanted to see him again. He wanted to receive instructions again. He wanted to be in the Lord's soothing presence. And more than anything, he wanted to serve him with all his heart, with all his mind. So in the greatest of happiness, he went on a hidden path to Puri. He still could not afford to be seen and recognized because the king was so cruel. And as he progressed in his journey, he went through the forest of Jharkhand. It's a wild jungle. I once stayed at the edge of this jungle for an entire month for a personal japa retreat. And it's really wild, my dear devotees. There are still all types of wildlife you find, even now, because no one dares to go deeply into the jungle. And in this jungle, something happened which was very, very disturbing. Sanatan had only bad drinking water in the forest, but he needed to drink something. And when he was drinking this water, he contracted a terrible disease, which is called weeping sores. It means the body opens, the skin opens, with these big round wounds, and from them there is a bodily liquid flowing all the time, pus comes out, and it smells really aggressive. But the pain which it creates is almost intolerable. This weeping sores is the older brother of shingles. Who of you has had shingles? You had shingles, but you're still alive. I had shingles. My dear devotees, I'm from a German origin. We don't cry very easily, but the pain was so big that I sometimes, when the door was closed, I cried. It was just intolerable. And that's just the younger brother of weeping sores, of what Sanatan got. As he moved on and saw the disease progressing and not abating, he knew his body would be useless for service. Because in this state, where everything was open and things came out, and this pain, he could not mix with people. He could not do service. And in his mind, he understood something. My life is useless without service. So he made a plan for the for the good death. It's a term which you can find. It's what in different world religions there is an understanding of a good death, that is a death where there are the best circumstances. We would say in modern language suicide, religious suicide. He thought, I will go to Puri, I will wait until the time of Ratha Yatra. Then, when the carts roll down the big marga, the big road, I will throw this useless body before Lord Jagannath. The carts will roll over me. They usually break the spine, and then you'd and then I die. He made this firm, determined decision to take his life. And it was not just something, I take my life. No, no, it was well considered, well planned by a man who was doing what he thought. Mm-hmm. He kept this secret. Well, there was, when he came to Puri. He knew of Haridas Thakur, so he asked the people, where is Haridas staying? And he found him under the Sitabakul tree. There was a little hut for sleeping. So he paid his obeisances to Haridas, and Haridas recognized him and was extremely happy to see Sanatan. Haridas said, my life is now blessed since you are here. And do you know what? Very soon, our Lord will arrive here. He always comes by my humble hut when he goes during the noontime to the ocean to do his noon duties. And he will see you. Sanatan Goswami was both very ecstatic at the prospect of meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but simultaneously he was very sad because he would not be able to serve him. He would take his life, and that would be the end of his spiritual path. So then he heard some chanting, or he heard somewhere, Mahaprabhu was usually accompanied by associates, and he then saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walking down the road towards the Sitabakul, where he and Haridas Thakur stayed. And the moment he saw the Lord, he threw himself down, overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, and stayed on the ground. Haridas Thakur received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with great happiness said, see who has come. It's Sanatan Goswami. It's Sanatan. So Mahaprabhu went to where Sanatan was lying in a prostrated obeisance and picked him up and pulled him up. Sanatan said, my Lord, don't touch me. I'm sick. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just looked at him and said, Sanatan, you have come. Please tell me the news of your family. Sanatan was overwhelmed by the love and affection of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he sat down and he told him news about Rupa and their youngest brother, Vallabha. And after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up, but he told his servant Govinda, go to the Puri temple. Sanatan has come. My Sanatan has come. Bring some Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. He had had a long journey. He should now eat nice Mahaprasad. So when the Mahaprasad was delivered, Sanatan could see the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for him. And he felt elevated, very exalted, but extremely sad because he would take his life at the upcoming Ratha Yatra because he felt so useless for service. Mahaprabhu visited the two great devotees, Haridas Thakur and Sanatan. Every day he so much appreciated the two. He made a personal point to come by. And he noticed, of course, Sanatan's conflicted thoughts. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surprised Sanatan. He said, without announcing anything, they had never spoken about anything. He said, give up this idea of committing suicide. From where does he know? Thought Sanatan. But then he thought, he's the indwelling super soul of everyone. He knows what everyone thinks in their heart of hearts. Of course he knows. And then Mahaprabhu continued, no one can reach the Lord by suicide. The Lord can only be reached by bhakti, by devotion. If I could reach the Lord by taking my life, I would have taken it 1,000 times, but it cannot be done. And another thing you must know, why, Sanatan, are you a thief? This body does not belong to you, it belongs to me. You have surrendered it to me when we met. See, Sanatan, by the order of my mother, I'm sitting here in Puri. Mother Sachi had requested the Lord to be in Puri so that she could get regular news about him in Navadvip. No? So he said, by the order of my mother, I'm sitting here in Puri. What can I do? But your body is my principal instrument for executing many necessary functions. By your body, or in other words, through you, I shall carry out many tasks. Who of you knows the tasks which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carried out through Sanatan Goswami? I think you all have some idea. Anyone? Yes? Write transcendental literature. Yes. Yes. Excavating the lost holy places so that the worship in Vrindavan could be resumed. Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful. I can't see so well. Yes, I see someone in the back. Build temples. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I have taken it out of the book, but I guess we have them all. Mahaprabhu said, I shall preach bhakti tattva, the truth of bhakti through you. The direct outcome of this order is a book called Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which all of us are in some ways familiar with. And I will also introduce the Vaishnava practices through you. What literature comes to mind which Sanatan wrote? Hari Bhakti Vilas, I heard somewhere. Yes, Hari Bhakti Vilas. You know, that to write these books at that time was a major thing. There was no pen and paper. You had to take a thorn or a twig, some suitable twig, prepare from flowers some juice, the extract, the colorful extract. Not all flowers, some specific flowers. And then you had to write them down on palm leaves which need to be prepared. When Jiva came to Sanatan Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan, he was ordered to prepare all the writing tasks. It took a huge It took one man to prepare this. So Vaishnav practices. Then restore all the holy places. That means find them. They were overgrown by the jungle. And then build temples there with deities. That is what I need you to do, because our movement needs to have a central holy place where Krishna is worshipped exclusively in his land, the land of Vrindavan, where he constantly stays. So, wow, Sanatan heard this, but he also thought, my Lord, what is with my body? It smells like anything. There is so much open sores, so much pain. I'm an invalid. How can I do this? I don't know if he thought it. Maybe he did not think of it at that moment. But yes, we know from a later passage in the scripture that he was not sure what to do with it, with his limitations, his objective physical limitation. My dear devotees, we will come in a moment back to Sanatana and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but this idea that the body is an instrument for a higher purpose, not the purpose of my own sense gratification, but a higher purpose, is central to what Pandavasena stands about. There we have these wonderful slogans, above and beyond. It means we understand there is a higher purpose in life which we wish to commit to, where we wish to be an instrument for, because it is so much more glorious to be an instrument of Krishna than an instrument of Maya. This reminds us so much of Srila Prabhupada that I have to mention him here. This, let me say it in English, the instrument consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada arrived at the shores of America, he was in a very thoughtful mood. He was not sure how he would be successful in spreading Krishna consciousness. He wrote down, how will I make these people understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate. I am unqualified and the most fallen. Therefore, O Lord, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince these people, for I am powerless to do so on my own. And a little later in the same prayer, he just throws his hand in the air, praying for Krishna to take him up and use him as his instrument. He says, O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. This is how he came to the shores of America. This is how he founded the movement for Krishna consciousness. He said, on my own, I just can't do it. You have to use me. And the example he uses is of a puppet on a string. when the master takes the puppet on the string, it can dance and do many things and raise its arm. But if the master doesn't pick up the puppet, it just is there like a, it looks like a piece of cloth which you would use to wipe the floor. It's useless. And so on. To understand Prabhupada's mood at that time, by Krishna's mercy, I found an interview later in 1970, that's 4 years later. A guest was received by him in his rooms, and he asked him, "May I ask you something? How come you choose America as the place to start your movement?" Prabhupada answers in the mood of full surrender, "My Guru Maharaj ordered me, you go and preach this cult among the English-speaking public, especially in the Western countries." In English-speaking people all over, but no, in the Western countries. This, by the way, was an order he received at their very, very first meeting. And Prabhupada continues, "First, I thought of London. Where is London? I thought. But I had no money. So I went on a steamship for free, and their ship goes to New York City. So I accepted. All right, we can see. Either go to London or New York. New York is actually a better place," he said. "I thought I would read this to you because you're from London." You know, this was the extent of his surrender. He had no other plan than to become a puppet in Krishna's hands. He wanted to go to London, but because he was so a man without financial means, he had to accept where the bus was going, so to say. That's the way we say in German for, you know, he had to go, he had to accept what Krishna would send him as a destination. And just see, this amount of being an instrument is amazing. Once he called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness the International Society String Band. String, puppet on a string. International String Band. Yes, I found this also. I'm surprised what you can find in the International Society String Band. Hare Krishna. Yes, that's the idea. An instrument. Become an instrument by surrendering to a perfect master. I remember there was an interview which His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj likes to quote. Not an interview, an exchange. At the end of a temple program, there was this amazing exchange between Srila Prabhupada and a student. The student had seen at the end of Prabhupada's lecture every one of his disciples bowing down to him, and he objected this. He was a little bit like my father. When my father visited the temple and he saw me bowing down to Tulsi, he thought, "What has become of my very noble son? He bows down to a plant now." He was very shocked at this. We could clarify all of this. Now my father would most probably bow down, with the hands at least, to Tulasi. Don't worry. So everyone was bowing down to Prabhupada, and the student, he raised his hand. Prabhupada said, "What is that?" And the student said, "I don't want to bow down before anyone. Then Prabhupada says, you are forced to bow down at your work, to boss, you have to submit. The student says, but not spiritually, you know, free expression of the spirit. And again Prabhupada said, you will be forced to bow down to death. Krishna consciousness means to find the place where you bow down and you will be happy. And that is Krishna. My dear devotees, surrender you must. Find the place where you can surrender. And very much I like to again draw your attention to this point, that when you surrender, it means you approach someone, means in this case Krishna, for shelter. This is Sharanagati or Krishna Sharanagati. You approach to shelter. And what do when you approach something? You make progressively forward moving steps on your path. I want to ask, I want to conclude this, and Sanatan understood in the discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh, the Lord somehow has accepted me because I have once surrendered to me, and now he considers me his property. Wow! Furthermore, the Lord wants to execute many things through me. I am now his instrument. And the Lord shortly after this came to Sanatan and Haridas Thakur. And as was his habit, he moved towards Sanatan to embrace him. And as was Sanatan's habit, he moved back. No, my Lord, no, my Lord, I cannot see that you make yourself, that you pollute your body by embracing me. But already the Lord had caught him and pressed him to his chest. And this time, in this embrace, a miracle happened. And the Lord released Sanatan from his embrace. All the wounds had disappeared. No illness any longer. It was exactly like he did with the Vasudev, the leper, whom he embraced and cured of his leprosy. And Sanatan saw his body. This was an instantaneous cure, and he was very, very, very moved. He paid his obeisances to the Lord. But just like Vasudev, he feared he would become proud. He has such a strong, good body now. Mahaprabhu once commented on this whole episode to Haridas Thakur. He said, the body of a Vaishnava who has surrendered is never mundane. It is fully spiritual. It's full of knowledge and bliss. The moment a devotee surrenders himself at the feet of his spiritual master at the time of initiation, Sri Krishna accepts such a surrendered soul and transforms his body into a spiritual body like that of himself. He also said, the Lord tested me personally if I would have acted with repulsion, and would not embrace him. I would have made discriminations with the body of a Vaishnava. So, yes, today I have a homework for you. means a day work. I would like to bring the subject of Sharanagati to you. Have you first of all understood this very doable concept to approach for shelter? Have you understood? Good. Are you now afraid of Sharanagati? No. No longer afraid. Yes. I'm happy that you don't scream out, no, 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 and some of you are thoughtful. Now comes my question. What are your steps towards Krishna, taking shelter at his lotus feet? What will you do? That is something you might note down. Maybe during the retreat you can think about this. I think you can think about service to and Pandavasena. Yesterday I talked to a wonderful devotee. I guess it was a confidential discussion, and he thought, I want to follow in the footsteps of the older Pandavasenas who do so much here. For the service, Naveen, Syam Gopalji, etc., many older devotees. I want to also do something. And he revealed to me where he wants to put his good energy. I don't want to say it because otherwise you know of whom I'm talking. I thought, wow, this devotee is thinking of a step he can do in the process of Sharanagati. What will you do? Where will you approach Krishna? Through your service, through becoming an instrument to make something wonderful happen. Maybe it could be in relationship to your spiritual practice. Maybe it could be like reading in the Bhagavatam, chanting. Maybe it could be in relationship to entering some, asking devotees, how can I be more of service according to my situation? I also have children, so please consider a good place. Or, maybe you want to join and do a Brahmachari course. Very good and very good project. And you want to join some project where you can do book distribution, Sankirtan, anything. Please mill over this question. Mill, is it called? Mill over this question. Turn it around. I certainly, after talking so about this subject, it's now my second time I give this lecture. I first gave it at the Bhakti retreat, but here I've tweaked it a little for the London devotees. I certainly will think about this, because it's a pleasant concept. It's a good concept. It is escaping the miserable rain of frustration, and taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Oh, look at this, it's again 9:11. Yes, I'm always ending these classes at 9:11. I don't know what is happening. Maybe I should at least end at 9:12 or so, but it's always on my wristwatch. Maybe because of the drama. Krishna. Actually, let's not end at 9:11. We have to have a question, then we can end at a more auspicious time. Hare Krishna. Any question? Maybe you are afraid. Yes, Syam Gopalji. Please speak loud enough, I'm getting a little old. Oh yeah, microphone is coming. Good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the class. A question I had, I was in immediate times of difficulty, like say if something's upsetting one's mind or something immediately happens, it's not life or death or anything like that, but it's just something's happened in someone's life and then they want to take, or we want to take shelter at that point of Krishna. How do you recommend that? I was debating whether it's through one of the nine processes or is it specifically through hearing like senior devotees or reading, or is there a specific, and when we were at Radha, she mentioned about taking a step back and seeing things from a spiritual perspective, but is there anything in particular that you recommend like as the first step of trying to Krishnize a bad situation?
Because you are a very thoughtful devotee and I want to make sure that I really understood. So let me repeat. So when something happens which shakes us up, we are naturally thinking, what can I do to change the situation in a spiritual way by doing something? So what do you recommend at that time? Yeah. Syama Gopal, here I can answer in a general way, and if it is not specific enough, you will have to approach me personal if there is something more confidential. Most of the time, things which upset us come from the area of relationships, where we are misunderstood or where something happens in a relationship that upsets our peace of mind and so on. At that time, the first step really is to step back and look at it not in a way where you are through the glasses of your disturbed emotions, let us say, like this. But what is going on here? Maybe there is something which this person needs from me, which I have not met. And maybe therefore he has these upset feelings and is therefore disturbed. And let me see if I can meet his needs, and then the situation is over. But sometimes relationships are not, or disturbances are not, you can't deal with them so clinically with the disinfected hands, you know, and so on. Sometimes other things go on, like old karma, which I have with these persons, or my karma is delivered, my bad karma is delivered through these people to me, and so on. And if there are people who make problems in a relationship like this, then you need to just make a healthy distance and hope that the and pray for these people. That's what I do, and not react like this. Just step back and let it go, detach from it. Don't fight back and so on. Then it usually goes. This is a tip which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives. That he says, when there is a quarrel and if someone attacks you, you just don't retaliate. You don't go back to further entangle yourself. But your question has also a spiritual dimension. This is common sense, what I said. You know, when something upsets us, we can know that, yes, this is the material world. This is bound to happen. This is, when a stone drops into water, it will get wet. when a soul drops into the material world, it will get misery. It is just the way it is. There is no other way around. And at that time, you need a spiritual orientation. See, most of us are acting on the social level and put a little Krishna consciousness in there. Oh yes, friends, cooperation, doing something, and so on. But at such a time, you need to now turn it around. You take full shelter of Krishna, because you are dysfunctional at the moment for so many things. You're highly disturbed. You take shelter at Krishna. And Syam Gopalji, I personally know of no better way to take shelter of Krishna, consciously shelter of Krishna, and open that sacred space where I feel His presence. I know of no better way than praying the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You must do this, Syam Gopal, or everyone. It will immediately be like a balm to get this misery and this pain and this maybe insecurity which you feel when you are when there is a problem. You know, do I have future? Does this have future? Does it make sense? And you know, we are confused at that time. You pray to Krishna, and it seems that Krishna was waiting all the time for you to turn to you. He's immediately there, and do so through the prayers of a great soul, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a servant of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And very quickly you will find that, oh, Krishna is there. Prabhupada gave another solution. He said, sit before the deities, look at the deities and chant. This is what he said to his, when his disciples were very disturbed. He said this, you must sit before the deities and chant. Just be there, alone, don't interact, don't smile at everyone who comes in and out. Just you and Krishna. And chant. And immediately the Lord will receive you. But Prabhupada said, then the devotee said, but then the temple commander comes and he will say, you have time, do this and this. Prabhupada said, then tell him, Prabhupada said, I should now sit before the deities and chant. No service, at them, no interruption. This is, I have a tape for Prabhupada. Speaks to disenchanted devotees who were suffering. In other words, please understand, my dear devotees, the only relationship where you can expect no disturbance is your relationship to Krishna. Should I say it again? The only relationship where there will be no disturbance, misunderstandings, where you will always be accepted, even if you are not good, that is Krishna. Really. We all have a God-shaped hole in our heart. I keep on repeating this. It's a hole because we have left Krishna and we have torn ourselves away from this. We are separated, and then a hole appeared. And we try to move heaven and hell through this hole to find some satisfaction, to find some completion, to heal it. But only when we put Krishna in, then it will be closed. Again, I take my Tamos as an powerful illustration. It has a hole on the top. And I need this particular plastic, I would say now a sophisticated English word for this, this particular plastic thing put it here. If I take anything else, my glass thing here is quite nice. It is one of the better glass cases. It will not close it. I have to bring this particular, I could even read you the brand, but I think that's foolish. And I would make advertisement for the brand. This particular thing, not from any other thing, this thing and nothing else. So in the same way, the hole in our heart is only closed by taking shelter at Krishna, because it's a Krishna-shaped hole. we are missing him, nothing else, or nobody else. Hare Krishna. Good, so we have ended at a more auspicious time now, but we have ended. I will ask our talented announcers or MCs to conclude. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.